98.3 Nigeria Info FM. Welcome to the show. It's the last run, the last hour. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. Let us consider together. Finally, the president says no to the Electoral Amendment Bill. Well, back and forth with the bill over the past few years. Four times the president said no, adjust this, adjust that. You know, finally he says no, I ain't signing. We're going to discuss this and the possible implication on the upcoming general elections in 2023, as well as on governance as a whole. My guest will join me shortly. She's Yemi Adamoleku, the executive director of Enough is Enough Nigeria, a nonpartisan network of individuals and organizations which focuses on building a culture of good governance and public accountability through active citizenship. Now, let me give you a background. The show is live on Facebook and YouTube, by the way, so you can join right now and watch there. Yesterday, precisely on Tuesday, President Muhammadu Buhari wrote to the National Assembly detailing his reason for not signing the Electoral Act 2010 Amendment Bill. He titled the letter "Withholding of Assent to Electoral Act Amendment Bill 2021. And according to him, he has received informed advice from relevant ministries, departments and agencies of government, and also has carefully reviewed the bill in light of current realities prevalent in the Federal Republic of Nigeria. He goes on to say that the conduct of elections for the nomination of party candidates solely via direct primaries, which, of course, this bill is proposing. The president says this has serious adverse legal, financial, economic and security consequences which cannot be accommodated at the moment considering our nation's peculiarities. It says also that this would have implications on the rights of citizens to participate in the government as constitutionally ensured. That's not the end. He also says that the Electoral Act Amendment Bill 2021 seeks to amend certain provisions, and some of these, of course, run around the provision of the conduct of direct primaries in the nomination of party candidates, and also, of course, the use of electronic transmission of results. The first rejection by the president was premised on the fact that it was too close to the elections. The first rejection actually was based on the fact that the amendment usurped the functions of INEC. Number two, the president had also said that the last rejection was because it was too close to elections and it will, changing the rules would generate confusion. We're 1 year, few months away from the next general election and the president has said, no, I would not sign this bill. Now, do you agree with this? Do you think that what side of the fence are you on this one? What's your thought about the Electoral Amendment Bill? I said earlier today that finally the bubble has burst. The president has finally given his thoughts, you know, about the bill. I'll ask you your thoughts about this. Let me start off with my guest who's coming on the line. Yemi Adamoleku is here. Good morning and welcome.
Morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for joining me.
Excellent. Sorry, because I'm used to radio being audio alone. COVID has changed a lot.
It has changed.
So it's morning. I'm in my house, so video is likely not gonna come on.
We will make it happen. I'll make sure you put it on before we leave, because we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. We're digital radio, so we don't just speak. We also view.
Things have changed significantly in the last 3 years.
Absolutely. Now, the president says no to this act. Your organization has followed up on the amendment bill as well as other matters in Nigeria. What was your first reaction? Or should I ask you, did you expect the president to sign before the deadline?
If he was going to sign, I expected him to sign before the deadline. But because he didn't sign by the deadline, it was pretty obvious that he wasn't going to do it. Mm-hmm. And not surprising either, really. I think the unfortunate thing is that at the season that we're in Nigeria, Mr. President is not, he's not the type of president that you look to for sort of bold decisions, being able to articulate his grand vision for a Nigeria and state clearly why he does the things he does or doesn't do the things he's not doing, as the case may be. And that's just where we are. It's just a fact. And unfortunately, it influences decisions like this that we have. I mean, it's significant that he's had 30 days to do this.
Yeah.
30 days, not 1 week, not 2 weeks, not 3 weeks, 30 days. And not only was it not done, it was done a day over 30 days. So that just really gives you an idea of the sense of urgency or just understanding why this needed to be done.
We can say that the president spent some time, you know, speaking to stakeholders like he claimed in that letter. And we remember that he actually invited INEC to advise him, you know, on what they thought about the amendment bill. INEC looks pumped and ready to go, you know, with the changes. They look forward to the to electoral, you know, voting and all the works. BVAT was used during the Anambra election. But the president still says, as stakeholders, let me go back, read that line again. He said here that he received informed advice from relevant ministries, departments and agencies of government, and also, of course, reviewed current realities. We don't know what specific ministries and agencies, you know, told the president that this was a bad idea. But generally, the governors are also supporting the president. What do you think?
Yeah, not surprising at all. And I think, but it's not, it's very kind of disingenuous of the president to imply that it was until the bill got to his desk 30 minutes ago did he start talking. Now, this bill, as you said when you were doing your intro, has been in the works like four different revised versions of it.
Yeah.
He has a National Assembly liaison. I forget the official title of the gentleman who is his, I think, is a special assistant to the president on National Assembly matters. So you have someone whose full-time job is to liaise between the presidency and the National Assembly. So it goes without saying that these discussions are ongoing. We remember, for example, when the Senate and the House of Representatives wanted to take out electronic transmission of results. And there was a huge uproar. People started talking about it. So because of the importance and the urgency, it also is actually really quite silly to be implying that it's just in this last 30 days that you started thinking about it. It's something that's been ongoing. So because of the importance of it and the fact, and that as has been said several times, that Mr. President, in fairness to him, has said that he wants his legacy to be free, fair, and credible elections.
Yes.
So if that's what you want to be your legacy, then it goes without saying to assume that you would invest time. You have someone whose job it is to liaise with the National Assembly to begin to raise some of these issues. What is important to me? What is important to Nigerians who I represent? How do we want to go about it? Electronic transmission of results. Nigerians were in uproar. That was changed. Direct primaries, some people said, maybe not. Governors, as you said. But for the majority of Nigerians who this law is for, we are okay with direct primaries. So what's the problem?
Yeah, the problems that were raised, I mean, we had this conversation earlier when political parties were throwing tantrums about the possibility of having direct primaries. Some of them saying, yeah, it's the way to go. Others saying it will be very expensive. You know, if you bring all the party members to come vote, it will be very expensive. Yeah. And that's one of the excuses the president gave, that we do not have enough security forces. And then it will be very expensive for INEC to have to monitor all these elections. So in reality, Do you think that direct primaries can work for us in Nigeria? And what's actually wrong with indirect primaries?
So part of the president's response, which I find interesting, was, as you said, the cost of it. So that the cost, and he talked about it in the context of the monetization of elections. So in a sense, basically, there'll be more people to pay if you do direct primaries rather than indirect primaries. But I think the president actually misses the point entirely. Because direct primaries should technically reduce corruption. Because how many people do you want to pay? Now, when you have indirect primaries, you basically are sending representatives to vote on behalf of everybody else. So let's say you have a ward, for the sake of argument, that has 100 people. You choose 5 people out of that ward to be delegates. And they, in a sense, vote the wishes of the ward. But if you're doing direct primaries, all 100 members of the party have an opportunity to vote.
Yes.
Now, if you choose 5 people to be delegates, you can settle 5 people. If you have 100 party members who want to show up and vote, is it 100 people you want to settle? And it's the same thing we talk about when it comes to election and vote buying. That when citizens come out to vote en masse, it makes it much more difficult for politicians to buy votes. But if it's only a few people that come, I can give you 5,000, I give you one, wherever, depending on the part of the country you're in and how expensive the vote is in that part. It's a bit more manageable because there are fewer numbers. But if you have large numbers of people coming out to vote, and if you want to buy votes, and people are saying, well, if you don't give me 100K or don't give me, and the pricing goes up,
yeah.
even if they are stealing the money, there's a limit to how much you can steal to buy this thing. So I completely disagree with the president in that regard, that I think direct primaries makes it a lot more actually expensive for political parties to manipulate elections.
How about the...
And what we've also...
Yeah, you know, I've spoken to some politicians, I mean, in lieu of the upcoming elections and the staggered elections, and some of them tell me, of course, privately, about how much money these delegates, it's a bidding system. You bid for it. It's the higher if you pay more. And, you know, like I told one of them, even if you pay them the most, you're not sure what they would do when they get there. Because they will tell you you pay the most, but they have possibly collected from three other persons, and you don't know who voted for whom. So how does this work? But I mean, like you said, the other side, though, is that INEC would have to monitor these elections. And that means that with the number of political parties we have, how can INEC possibly do this before? Wouldn't that be quite a distraction, you know, before the major election?
I think, to be honest, I'll defer to INEC on that. And what INEC has said is we're ready. INEC has noted that it will be a challenge, but they've said they're ready. So I'm not INEC, I'm not Professor Yakubu. He said he can do it.
I'll
trust that they'll do it.
Yeah.
So let's move it on. But also, to be honest, it also provides an opportunity for political parties to get a bit creative with these things. I think it was either ANRP or ANN, or two of the new parties in 2019, or COA. One of those three parties, if I'm not mistaken. If anybody's listening and you're a member of those parties, please call in and clarify.
Confirm which one, yeah.
They did their primaries electronically. People voted electronically. I think either USSD or online or whatever it is. So there was no gathering of people anywhere. There was no monitoring. There's no security needed. Now, obviously, that's not possible in all places for all parties. But it also just allows some level of creativity around what can we do? How can we do this? But the truth of the matter, Adewumi, is that unless of the new parties, your two dominant parties, APC and PDP, do not have accurate registers of their party members. That's just the truth of the matter. There is no place in any of these parties that you can say that this is a verified register of every member of this political party. And I'll use Aisha Osori, who ran on PDP's platform for, I think, Abuja, the House of Rep or Senate, I forget. But in her book, Love Does Not Win Elections, when she joined the PDP, they basically had, the register was manual. So they were basically flipping pages and said, okay, when do we want to put you in that you joined the party? Because apparently what they do is they leave in, as they are writing party members, they leave in blanks.
Wait. They backdate registrations?
Yes, my darling. That's what you can do when you're doing a manual system. Very easy. Because it's not electronic. There's nobody checking, nothing like that.
Wow.
So they will ask you when you want your registration to start. So they'll put you there. So if today, this is 2021, so if you say you want to be registered as a party member as of 2019 or 20, don't worry, we'll find you a space
in those
years. Exactly.
Wow.
So those are the types of things that make it easy for parties to manipulate when there's no real oversight. But direct primaries forces you to then have a register. And I'll use two examples, Lagos and Anambra. Lagos, Lagos did direct primaries with APC leading up to the 2019 elections. Ambode versus Sanwo-Olu. Sanwo-Olu won the direct primaries, but the total number of people that voted for him at the primaries, I don't think the total number of people that voted in the elections, which now means everybody across parties, did not add up. Same thing in the Anambra elections. Andy Uba's direct primaries for APC had, I don't know, maybe 400,000 votes. And the total number of people that voted in the elections maybe was 200,000 people. So it shows what can be done when the process is manipulated, which some people also have concerns over. But I think the demand of the people who are in these political parties is that, okay, if the law says we must have direct primaries, then we need to know who's who.
Yeah.
Who are party members?
Sorry.
We verify that. Thank you.
Sorry. So let's talk about the only way out of this right now. We're 1 year, like I said in the introduction, we're 1 year and a few months away from the next general election. The only way out of this is for the lawmakers to veto, cancel, you know, so the president's decision. A number of them, I think about 76 of them, have shouted, oh yeah, we're gonna veto the president, we want this.
Okay. Why are you sighing? Why did you say
him? Well, because, you know, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, good. You know, like Jimmy Dixon said at 7:30, maybe if we can have a list of the names of those who say, yeah, we want to veto the president. And then when the voting actually has to happen, if it does happen, let us see if they truly voted. You know, like you said, like we all know, there is a lot of, you know, intricacies interwoven into policies. One of my callers earlier made a big jab and said our lawmakers, our legislative is a department of the executive. Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same? Do you think they will? I mean, that's the strongest thing I've heard. But, yes. But do you think they would actually go through with vetoing, you know, this president's decision?
To be honest, so two things. One, that's not the only way out, actually. So veto is the only way out. Another way is that they tweak it and they send it back to the president for assent, for him to sign. And
well, I mean, if he complains about the changes, if they change it, then there's no amendment.
No, there are many other amendments, like electronic transmission is there. There's the number of days between when they need to get the names of the candidates, the amount of money that can be spent. There are quite a number of other.
So they should, you said they should remove the controversial aspect, and that is a direct primaries specifically. I think the direct primaries is the biggest issue here. And one more. What is that again? There are two issues that the president, you know, was particular about.
I think it's just that, direct primaries. I'm going through his response.
Yeah, okay, it will be, yeah, right here it is. That it will be difficult. Yeah, it's all around the direct primaries. It'll be difficult for INEC to manage, and the security challenges around managing direct primaries. I think that's practically the issue. But if they do, change
the last sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so let me read the last sentence of his letter to the National Assembly. It is my considered position that the political parties should be allowed to freely exercise right of choice in deciding which of direct or indirect primary to adopt in the conduct of their primary elections as their respective realities may permit.
Hmm.
So I think that's pretty much what he's put on the table. And in response to your caller's jab, since the legislature, who is supposed to check the executive, have decided they want to be a department, a unit in the Ministry of the Presidency, I believe they're going to negotiate this out. And I actually remember I was in a program on Arise, I think 2 weeks ago, and the senator that we had said that he doesn't expect that there would be a conflict. And as several of them have said, they don't want to go on a war path with the president, that what he expects to happen is that there will be a compromise. And I do agree. I think that's what's going to eventually come out of this. They will come back and say, okay, fine, we're taking it out. But I think let's note for listeners, just in terms of education, the nature of a law is that it doesn't suit everybody. I don't know that there's any perfect law anywhere.
Absolutely.
So, and the nature of a democracy is that it's meant to reflect the opinion of the majority.
Yes.
So while, yes, that imposing direct primaries can technically be seen to be imposing, but you do certain things in the lifetime or lifespan of a country to meet certain realities.
Mm.
Our elections are a hot mess.
They are.
As you said, if delegates, the system of delegates is to the highest bidder, but you now want to create a system of direct primaries that actually empowers members of the party. Look, most parties across the world, it's the members of the party that fund the party. So because you believe in your party, you're giving 1,000 naira a month, 5,000 naira a month. So therefore, you also have equal say, equal stake.
Yeah.
But the way we do our political parties is when somebody wants to run for office, you go and buy a nomination form for 20 million naira. How does that make any sense?
Let's talk some more about this. I'm sorry, I need to hold you a bit because I need to head out for a break. Sure. My phone lines are already buzzing. When I come back, I'll take your calls. You can also join us on social media. We're live on Facebook and YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. I'll also allow you to join over WhatsApp 08095975805. I'll be right back after the break. Don't go away. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're discussing the president's disagreement again with the Electoral Amendment Bill. which he has refused to give his assent to. My guest today is Yemi Adamoleku, the executive director of Enough is Enough Nigeria. She's joining me over Skype. We're live on Facebook and YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3, and you can leave me your thoughts and comments there. I'm heading first to the phone lines to get your reactions. The number is 0700-993-993-993 or 0700-993-993-993. Female callers, we have a line for you. That's 0146571190. You can join us over that line. Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, welcome to the show. What's your name?
I'm calling from Victor Estate.
Okay, I did not get your name actually. Do you want to tell me again?
Okay, Vitalis.
Vitalis?
Yes.
All right, you're welcome. What's your thought?
Yeah. I want to, deliberate on the sake of that deal.
Okay.
There is this saying that when you want to find trouble with somebody, you will tell him to give you palm oil to use and eat palm kernel.
Mm.
Listen, the house that, took up that bill, and passed it and presented it to the president,
mm-hmm.
why didn't INEC in their own volition present that bill to the house by themselves? Because that would have made somehow genuine.
What do you mean genuine? The lawmakers have a right to write a bill. They are your lawmakers that represent you and send it to the... They don't need INEC to do that.
The lawmakers have the right to present, but it would have been nice.
What does it matter? The bill is already here. What does it matter where it came from? What does it matter?
Now that the president is in his argument on that that INEC,
mm-hmm.
it will be very expensive for INEC to fund those aspects of the primary election.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? It was INEC that brought that bill.
Mm-hmm.
INEC, they would have been in a better position to argue that.
I hear you. I do not totally agree with you, but I hear you. Let me come to Yemi Adamoleku. Do you agree with him? Do you think this would have been better if it was presented by INEC directly?
I don't think so.
Does it change anything?
I'm not sure, because the president did ask for INEC's opinion, and INEC said they were ready. I think the truth of the matter is the loudest voices against this thing are the governors. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there was a picture shared yesterday with Governor Kayode Fayemi of Ekiti, who's chairman of the Nigerian Governors Forum,
mm-hmm.
and Malam Nasir El-Rufai in a meeting with Mr. President. So INEC has been clear that yes, it might be expensive, but we're ready to do it. And so INEC didn't express any objections to the bill at all.
That's it. And back on the phone lines. Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes. Welcome. What's your name?
Compliment of the season.
I wish you the same.
Right. I'm calling from Banana.
All right. Go ahead.
Yes,
sir.
I want you to understand that from what that lady over there is saying is absolutely correct.
Okay.
The elders in politics, they are not just there for the good of Nigeria, they are for the goods of Nigeria. Quote and unquote. See, the direct primaries election they are kicking against, which that scent we called our president Buhari is kicking against.
Mm-hmm.
He has a hidden agenda over it.
What do you think this hidden agenda might be?
Hidden agenda in the sense that in terms of electoral processes, we start from primaries before campaign, is that not?
Yeah, so go on quickly because of time. What is this agenda you think he has?
His hidden agenda is for him to handpick who he wants to be his successor.
You mean from his political party?
From his own political okay. parties. Let me still tell you.
No, I don't have any more time on that. You've been here almost. I'm sorry. But remember, guys, you need to keep it to 60 seconds, okay? There are so many people on the line, so you can't take forever. Summarize your thoughts. I want to hear them, but I want to hear them very quickly, okay? Good morning. Hello.
Yeah, Action Lady, good morning.
Good morning, sir. You're welcome.
All this food dragging about the president, the appointing who will succeed him. Within their party, if they get candidates, right?
Mm-hmm.
The general election, Uncle, must we vote for who the president has picked?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, INEC, you say you are independent. Why not INEC tell the parties what to do, go about your primaries? Enough of all this front and back. Let Buhari choose whoever he wants to. The other millions of Nigerians will vote whoever they want to vote.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yemi, do you think that INEC should just put their feet down and tell the political parties do direct primaries? Is it under the purview of INEC to do this?
No, it's not. That's really? Why if it's not in the law, it can't be done.
INEC can't wake up and say, oh, we want you going forward to do direct primaries. The law
no,
has
INEC
to back
doesn't
it.
Have that power.
No, they don't. So get that. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Wemimo.
Good morning. Welcome. What's your name?
My name is David from Deshoriade.
All right, David. What's your thought?
Yes. My thought is on all the reasons that Mr. President gave.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, about the security.
Yes.
The Mr. President wants to tell me that the security of parties, primary, is more than the security he provides during general election.
Hmm.
That is saying the security will not be adequate. Then when you now come to the finance aspect of it, do you know how much they collect from all these aspirants? If they are make all this money, they will first of all ask them to go and see the leaders. It's all these leaders now that are moving against this law.
Hmm.
There is each aspirant will give this leader millions before they now come out say to the party millions again. If they bring all this money together, it's enough to finance whatever they want to finance about the direct primary.
Hmm. Thank you very much. Now, he has raised a very vital point, and that's if we cannot provide security for direct primaries, how are we certain that we can provide security for the general elections? And if one of the reasons we're not doing this is because bringing people together, you know, at one point would pose a security threat, possible security threat. How about we go digital, electronic for the whole of the election, or at least the majority of it? That's the general election. Isn't this excuse by the government a good pointer to what needs to be done?
Well, we're in 2022.
Yeah.
And what we have seen over the last 3-4 years of this administration is that our security situation has gotten progressively worse. So your point about security for primaries and security for elections, it's a real concern. And there's nothing that I see right now that shows that we're really taking it seriously. I mean, remember that when we're doing national elections, the number of people we can deploy to an Anambra or one state election will not be possible because we need them all across the country.
Yeah.
So the thinking towards planning for elections and security, unfortunately, is not there. And that is a legitimate concern. Now, going using technology, again, has to be a function of an amendment to a bill. But if I'm not mistaken, the amendment, this particular amendment, also allows INEC to deploy technology.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the phrasing is that to use technology as it may deem necessary for elections, which is why electronic transmission is now possible.
Mm-hmm.
If this amendment, or let me not say if, when this amendment bill gets passed.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think, just to your earlier points, just for clarity.
Yes.
INEC's powers, for example, have been increased under this amendment. So before, if there were primaries, and let's say Wemimo won, but the party now sends Yemi's name to INEC. So INEC observed the election. They saw that Wemimo won when they announced it in Isaleko. But when they now sent the name to INEC headquarters, it now has Yemi's name on it.
Yeah.
Before, INEC had no powers to do anything about it. They had to accept it. But now, under this amendment, they can actually say, well, no, we were there. We saw the primaries and it was Wemimo that won.
the things so that happen, man. Like someone wins the primary, you send somebody else's name to. So what's the point for the primary? Why don't you just why don't you just send a name?
Ceremony, just so that we say we did something. And then secondly as well, in the past, if, for example, they were returning results for an election and somebody was in literally either under gunpoint or under duress, had to sign off on results that he knew were inaccurate, INEC could not reject those results. Now, under this amendment bill, INEC actually can. Before, what the law said is that it has to go to court. So politicians will do that. They know that as long as they can declare me winner, the next place is court. And then we get to court and we...
That one is long and winding,
Not even long and winding. We do wonderful things with judges. And someone who comes in fourth suddenly becomes the governor of
the state. I tell you, the things that we have seen in this country, not the last one where someone was about to get inaugurated, party was in full swing. I mean, they had cooked rice, they had set up everything. Oh, man, the things we have seen in this country. And the court says, no, you're not the winner anymore. Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
I still quite imagine how that man still feels, about that event.
As all of us, very traumatized, I can imagine.
I was just
trying to say that. So there are good parts of this amendment bill, and that's why we need to push for it to be passed. I'm particularly excited about the types of powers that INEC now has to do these things. Yeah.
So you would suggest that the Senate bends over, remove the parts of present, remove the direct primaries, from the amendment and send it again?
I believe so. I think it's with the other things that is in it, sitting on, because let's just be clear, because our legislative arm is a unit of the presidency. I agree with your caller. Your caller was spot on, and I love it. I was just telling a friend of mine, we were chatting, I said I'm going to be using that a lot, because our legislature is now a unit of the presidency. Not now, it has been, but let's just all be clear. So because the veto is not going to happen, the only way that we can get this bill is for them to remove that. And basically all they will say is that let every party decide what kind of primary they want and so that we can get this bill signed and get on with it. Because we have elections in about, 14 months?
Yeah.
And so people are spending energy and time on... And this is the law that's going to determine how the elections run. And we have Ekiti and Oshun coming up, which will be perfect... Perfect pilots. Quote-unquote.
Before the general election.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's see how the law works, how the INEC uses it. INEC has an opportunity to get used to the different provisions, yadidi. So let's just do it, Sabek. It's okay. It's not ideal, but it's better than...
Just take the half cake, better than none, and come back to negotiate for the other half later on. Let me take a final call for now. Let's see. Let's go on the female line. And then she's gone. I would like to hear from the lady. Good morning. Hello. Hello?
Good,
yes, good morning. What's your name? Welcome.
My name is Benedict. I call to contribute.
Yes, please go ahead. You're welcome.
Hello?
I can hear you. Go ahead quickly.
My own take is that this bill is just a distraction.
The whole of the bill?
Yeah, no. The direct primary issue is just a distraction.
Okay.
That is not our problem now. Our problem is for them to sign electronic transmission of results.
Okay.
That is a major issue. This is a distraction. I believe it's not a prank for them. They are not fighting each other. I know quite okay. They are not fighting. It's a prank for them to stop the whole process of the bill. I believe.
All right. Thank you very much. Finally, because I have one more minute to go, Yemi, your organization talks about citizens' participation, active citizenship. Now that we're at this bus stop, what do you think citizens can do, in passing their thought? They all think, they agree with you, this might be a distraction. How do we then move forward? What can citizens do in 1 minute?
Quickly, ideally, the legislature answers to us. So if we really had a lot of citizens who are active, we really should be able to put our senators and House of Rep members under fire to ensure that they veto the bill. But we just haven't built that capacity yet. But I will encourage citizens as we vote in 2023, if any of these people are coming back and want to run for office, remind them that when we needed you to speak up against these things, you were silent. So make that part of the your criteria for choosing if you want to return your senator or House of Rep member? How did they behave on this electoral amendment bill? Mm. And the most, I guess, at the end of it all, elections are coming up. Please register to vote. I cannot say this enough.
We keep June shouting 30. It here. In fact, it's on all our bulletins throughout June, the day. Go get your PVC.
June 30, 2021. Literally in 6 months, election registration is over. Voter registration will be over end of June. So when you wake up in January next year and there's a candidate you like and you say, oh, I want to vote for this person. Wemimo is running for office. I really like Wemimo on radio.
But you can't.
You will not be able to. I can't say it enough. So please, and again, just your legislators.
My time is totally up now. Unfortunately, I have to run.
It's okay. It's all right.
All right. Thank you very much for joining me. It was nice chatting with you. Thanks. I hope to have you back here soon. All right, Nigeria, all right, that's the show. Thank you all for being here since 5 a.m. I need to go. I'll see you again tomorrow at 5. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. I'm on social media at Wemimo Sport. Let's keep talking there. Have a great day. We have more shows coming up for you. Daily Digest at 9. Don't go away.
This is an infomercial. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.